This is Fishbowl Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Justin Goins.
Well, we're back with another episode of Fishbowl Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Justin Goins, and I just want to take the time to say thank you again for clicking and listening. We are in a series called, it's really trying to define the name Fishbowl Effect, but it's the Fishbowl Effect Introduction. We've been looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, which is arguably kind of the crux or the center point-ish of the epistle of 1 Timothy that Paul wrote to Timothy as he left him to pastor at Ephesus. And you can go back to the previous four episodes and listen to them. I would suggest that you listen to them in order because they do build upon each other. And this week is the last of this series of Fishbowl Effect Introduction. Again, let me be clear that Fishbowl Effect is not found in 1 Timothy, nor would I say in the whole entire scripture. But this Fishbowl Effect that I'm coining is a word picture to help us, simply a tool to help us to better kind of see or give us some clarity in what the text and other texts in scripture is teaching. And again, a fishbowl. What's a fishbowl? Well, you bring a fishbowl into your home. You put a fish inside there. You don't put it inside of a dark fishbowl with no way to look at it. You put it in a clear fishbowl with typically clear water, and you put it there for everyone to see and to feed. And there's things that you can learn about the fish while you're looking at it, while you're observing it. You can learn how they eat, if you have multiple fish, sometimes how they interact. And of course, I've said this over and over again, you can also see the unpleasantries of the fish. And I don't have to go in depth, I don't believe, about that. But regardless, fish in a fishbowl, people look at it. It's on display. It's to be observed. Well, here in this text, Paul is telling Timothy, your life is on display. He's told Timothy to be an example of the believers where he was pastoring. And that doesn't just mean in the church of the believers, because he didn't just say to the believer, he said of the believer. So it carries with it, yes, to Christians, but also the outside world. And he's been going through up to this point five different areas that he wants Timothy to focus on. And I believe if we can focus on those five and the last one today, as we are going about our daily lives, I think there's really six areas just to focus on in all of life. If there was a seventh, Paul would have given seven or eight or so on. I think this summarizes the totality of the Christian life. And so without further ado, this week we are looking at the last attribute. And allow me, this is the word of God. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy, don't let anybody look down upon you or think different of you, but be thou an example of the believers. Be what they look to. Be kind of like the manual, if you may, of the believers in word, which means the words that you use, your speech, conversation, which means your lifestyle, your life choices. In charity, which is agape, which is the selfless sacrificial love. In spirit, which is the way into which you deeply, passionately, but also intimately worship God. And then lastly, also in faith, the way that your faith, the way that you live out your life as living it, basically saying that God is real. Now, Paul wasn't telling Timothy with the faith attribute to say, hey, Timothy, continuously to place your faith in Jesus or in Christ. No, that's a one-time thing. He's saying to live in faith, not blind faith. Faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. It's not blind. It's in the expected character of God. That's what faith is. It's trust. It's full expectation in the character of God. So God, you may not see him, but you can see his faithfulness. You can see his word. You can hear his Holy Spirit. You can watch the fingerprint of God in this world. So although you may not literally be able to see God, your faith is not blind or in some kind of mystical person or essence. Faith is, you know, most people would say, well, what's the opposite of faith? Sight. No, because faith isn't blind. As a Christian, you're not placing your faith in blindness. We have evidence, and evidence of a ever faithful God. So that's what he was telling him to live out his faith in this week in purity. Purity, what's he saying in purity? It means moral purity, proper sexual conduct. Now think with me for just a second. Why would Paul throw this in here? Wasn't it kind of basically covered in the conversation category, meaning his lifestyle? Yes. However, Paul made a specific category for sexual purity because the area that surrounded this church, Ephesus. Remember, I believe our intro, the very first episode that we did here, I gave you a little bit of the background of Ephesus. Ephesus was a social hub with tons of religions merging into this one area. I do know that I use kind of J.D. Greer's kind of mentality. It was like a build-a-bear religious center, kind of taking a piece of this religion and kind of building your own. But it was kind of like a San Francisco mixed with like a Vegas and then a New York City kind of combined is what kind of Ephesus was like. So you had this massive economy, but also with it, you have diverse in cultures, diverse in ethnicities, but also in religions. And so all these things were merging in. But one, and most specifically though, the major theme in that time was sexually worshiping their gods. Like that's literally a lot of their gods across the known world at that time. One major way that you got to worship that god, I think about it, why not? I mean, this is kind of fleshly appeasing, was to, they would have temple prostitutes with those gods, and also the temple of Diana, which was at Ephesus. They would have these, and they would have temple prostitutes or virgins that you would able to have sex with them to worship that god. So for the flesh, so to speak, and I'm just saying this as regarding the sinful flesh, if you had a god that the way to worship it was to have sex with another female besides your wife and multiple women, I mean, you can kind of see how that would be a kind of appealing to a lot of that culture. And that's the same exact thing in that area. It was just inundated with this type of culture. Sex just went rampant, and especially in that religious day and age. And so you could see, I mean, how Christianity stands in stark contrast, especially here when Paul is telling Timothy, don't you dare. Timothy, be pure. You want to stand out, Timothy? Be an example? Don't live in the context of the sexual context of Ephesus. Don't follow those teachings. The major god and goddess in that area was Diana. Listen, no doubt in my mind, there were people, members of that church, saved individuals that were in that church that came out of this lifestyle of worshiping. And some, obviously saved by grace through faith and God is sanctifying them, but some may still have those fleshly tendencies that Satan or his principalities or his powers would start to entice these tendencies to fall back into some of those things, or might even still struggle with it. So Paul was telling Timothy to completely refrain from these actions. Number one, as an example, because think about it. As the pastor, if Timothy were to do this or say it was okay, which it's not biblically okay, but if he did that, think about all the people that came out of that lifestyle. What would they do immediately? Pew, you got it. Run right back and start partaking of this lifestyle. And that is not whatsoever what God has been teaching throughout his scripture whatsoever. When we get to Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, and chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 21 through 25, we see that God made marriage for one man and one woman. And even thinking about this, when God told Adam, he put him to sleep, woke him up, and did all these things, what happened is that it was able to take it into the fact of being able to, sorry, my wife came in the house, so I'm in a podcast, so this is, I'm not going to start over the podcast. I've been for about 20 minutes now, so my bad with that. But with that being the case, God created original marriage, original life to be one man, one woman. So that excludes certain things. In fact, when you get to Genesis chapter 1, previously to Genesis chapter 1, 26, we see that Adam's looking around and looking for a mate, and he knew that there was none in the animal kingdom. And so when God could have created Adam a mate out of the animal kingdom, but he didn't. So that excludes. So we know because God did it and he brought him a woman, that it excluded bestiality. And we don't just have to know it from that. We can go through other texts in the scripture, Old Testament, to know that as well. But also that he didn't create for Adam multiple Eves, just one. So polygamy, multiple wives. God did not create that. So one. And then also, he did not create for Adam the same gender. He created a different gender, a woman completely different than what he is, bodily structure. And so we know just by that, we can deduct these things that God didn't. Bestiality is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And so is polygamy. These things God did not create. And so when Paul is telling Timothy this, also in the context of Ephesus, man, it's very interesting to sit back and to know, hey, listen, Timothy, you had a big role to play, young man. Some people in your church may have came, and I would arguably say they did. There were plenty of people sitting out in the church service when they would worship together that came out of this lifestyle. Maybe somebody who last week, just newly saved, came out of the temple. Last week, he was worshiping, or she was worshiping Diana by having sex with a temple prostitute. That was last week, and this week, he's there, and God said, him and is changing him, letting him know that what his the Holy Spirit of God inside these people, and letting them know that that's wrong, sanctifying them away. But that does not mean that Satan's still not going to come after them and try to grab them into back into that lifestyle. And let me just pause and stop and say, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Satan does that to you as much as he does it to me, to every Christian, tries to get us to fall back into the flesh. That's why we are to not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. And mind the things of the Spirit, not of the flesh. We are told to put to death the flesh and to put on the armor of Christ, to put on the new man over and over again. And Ephesians, Paul says this. I mean, this is a very Pauline-esque talk about putting away the old man, putting on the new man in Christ. And so putting away these things. But then as he's walking in, imagine that if Timothy were to continuously say, hey, don't do these things, but then turn around himself and partake of it, I don't know, half, a quarter, all of his church membership, I don't know the exact number, would fall right back into there. So Timothy had a pretty big role to fill as that pastor in these six areas. But again, what do people learn? And not really again, but a question I've been asking over these five episodes is, what do people learn about Christ by observing you? Fishbowl effect. What do your friends, guys, ladies, learn about Christ by your sexual purity? Teenager, maybe you're not a teenager. Maybe you're a college age. Maybe you're a young entrepreneur age or above college, out of college. Maybe you're a senior adult. Maybe you're middle-aged and you're not been married or whatever the case. Maybe you have previously been married and unfortunate things led to divorces. What is your sexual purity like? Is it running rampant? Is it just, you know, the lingo of the day to try, you know, test drive the car or whatever the case may be? Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Stay away. Sex isn't for the confinement of marriage, but not just like the actual act of it. Even sexual purity when it comes to, I mean, I'm using right now, I got a microphone plugged into a Focusrite kind of a mixer, also plugged into a laptop. And I'll be editing this on another laptop and my iPhone, a lot of technology. You can be sexually pure and abstaining from the actual act, but can also be partaking it wrongly and be sexually impure by partaking of it via porn or listening to different things, or how about even movies or radio stations? I mean, all these things play a role into your sexual purity, just not people, you know, you ever heard of, I'm not touching you, but your finger is right next to their face. I mean, a lot of people think of sexual purity as I actually not in partaking of the act. Well, the act isn't, yes, it's a sin, but it's also a sin what's within. And Jesus taught this many times. People say, you know, when he asked, have you murdered? No. When he asks religious people, well, actually, it's not the outward action of murder that is actually the sin. It's the inward part of hating somebody. If you've hated somebody, you're guilty of murder. So sexual purity actually starts within, and it's really a selfishness thing. really boils down to a selfishness thing. So again, I want to take a step back and just say, how are you living out Christ? How are you teaching people about Christ by your purity? By your purity, maybe even in your talk or your gesturing or your joking in the work world or even within family about sexual things. Stay away from that. Paul tells people in the book of Ephesians, not to have the filthy communication or the filthy gesturing. If you go back to the very first one of these, the second episode, dealing with that word, I talked about this, how we're not to be joking around about sexual things. I mean, that, so you can kind of tag in the first one, first attributes or area of word with purity as well. So again, what do people learn about Christ by observing your purity? Stay pure, Christian. Stay pure. It speaks volumes of your life and devotion to Christ. Well, again, this is Pastor Justin with Fishbowl Effect Podcast. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this full episode. Next, Lord willing, we'll be jumping into Psalm chapter number 1, one of my favorite Psalms, and just taking it verse by verse, maybe even a week or an episode to take it in two episodes to cover one verse. We'll see how that plans out. But again, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This is Pastor Justin with Fishbowl Effect Podcast. God bless.